Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
There's a salary survey being conducted by the Urban and Regional Information Systems Association, URISA. Is this kind of survey relevant for hiring managers, given the changing nature of how location technology and geospatial information are now employed in organizations? And if you're hiring, would you consult it? We'll tackle that and more, but first a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is the leader in geospatial technology webinars. If your organization is interested in more sales leads, stronger brand awareness, and positioning your company as a key thought leader, then let us help you deliver a professionally produced live event that reaches a global audience. For more information on both our 30 and 60-minute webinar formats, go to www.geospatialwebinars.com.
Adina, when I first saw the announcement of URISA's salary survey, my immediate reaction was, do we need a survey like this anymore? And would hiring managers really consult it? And my second question was, are positions out there still labeled GIS analyst or GIS manager? Or are most jobs including GIS simply as a skill, like it might say something like proficiency in ArcGIS or proficiency in MapInfo required? My contention is that most professional jobs like forester or urban planner may require GIS as a skill, but would not necessarily be labeled GIS forester, for example, or if you get what I mean. I can see where there would be a need for GIS technician where they're skilled perhaps in a particular software for map database creation, as an example. So I consulted our own jobs board at Directions Magazine, and indeed, there are a mix of positions. Then I consulted what I would call the leading federal geospatial agency, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. And there, while the jobs are essentially labeled GEOINT analysts, certainly you could substitute the word GEOINT for GIS. Now, jobs at cities and states are more likely to specify a profession like transportation planner and require GIS as a skill. So I want to discuss several questions that go to not just the relevance of the survey, but really the changing nature of GIS as a skill or a technology tool and not a designated profession. So let me just state this question to you. Is this a valuable survey today in the context of GIS as it's seen increasingly as one of the many location technology tools that are there and that may be used in your job?
Well, I'm not sure the actual numbers are as valuable as one might think. I'm not sure that people looking for jobs would reference it, and I don't know that hiring managers would either. The most important role it has is to just look at changes. Since this is the fourth of them that URISA has done, we can see what the changes are over the last couple of years, and that's somewhat valuable. But I think you also need to look at it in terms of the use case for the survey. And I'm not exactly sure what that's for. When URISA put out the email requesting that people participate, they described it as an important profile of GIS professional activities and compensation. But I'm not sure exactly who they think is going to use it or how they're going to use it. Maybe it's just a moneymaker for them. I don't really know.
And that goes to one of the original questions. Do we still need to consider GIS as a profession? I don't consider it a profession. To me, it is a skill that you acquire as one of the many other jobs that you would undertake. I think it's mislabeled somehow.
The whole idea of it being a profession?
Yeah, I do.
Well, then let's jump to, this conversation has been going on for some time in GIS, is are we a profession? Should we be a profession? What can we do to become a profession? And if you look at, I went straight to my favorite resource, Wikipedia, and what are the milestones that mark an occupation becoming a profession? And they have seven of them, starting with The occupation becomes a full-time occupation, a training school. There's a university. There's a local association. There's a national association. There is a code of professional ethics. And finally, there is the establishment of licensing. GIS has done most of those. I would say we get up to number 6 because there is a professional code of ethics if you become a GISP. The rest of us are on our own, I guess. We're supposed to just use our own ethical standards. And the whole idea of licensing, well, that's probably not going to happen because, remember, licensing is about protecting everybody else, and we're not sure we need to be in that space, although some states think that people who make maps do need to be licensed. We're certainly on the path to become a profession, and there are good arguments for doing that. We get recognized within the Department of Labor. Things can become more formalized with titles and such. But I think you're right that there's really a divide, and I think this is true in other occupations as well, where there are times when somebody does spend 40 hours a week doing GIS. It is, in fact, a full-time profession. But more and more of the time now, especially with the changes to the technology, you use it as part of your job, just like you use Excel and a database and a phone, right, and a bunch of other things. It's not like an electrician where you have to have a whole lot of training and it's all about safety. And most electricians that I know work full-time, although I'm sure there are some that work part-time as well, but they've got to jump through all those hoops. We're not in that space.
No, but to your point of how Wikipedia defines the profession, you're absolutely right. I mean, we could check all of those boxes pretty well, although there isn't really a GIS association. You could say that ERISA has taken that mantle, but we've got training schools, we have university, you can get a degree, and yet if I have a degree in GIS, am I going out looking for the job that says GIS professional, or am I looking for the job that says, oh, I'm a whatever, an urban planner, and I just happen to have it? From your perspective, since you're closer to the education profession than I am, are we at a crossroads here with, do we need a GIS department, or do we in a four-year college, do we guide them differently than we would otherwise? This idea of a GIS degree just seems to stymie me a little bit.
Well, and it's interesting you bring that up, because right now, to the best of my knowledge, there are about 3 or 4 schools in North America where you can get an undergraduate degree in GIS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Most of the programs, you major in geography, but you specialize in GIS, or if you do get a degree in GIS, it's a professional degree. It's a professional master's or a certificate, right? So ideally, you've gotten this other education, whether it's a liberal education or a very focused one like in forestry, and then you add this on. So clearly, the education folks are having that same question. Do we need to have a bachelor's in GIS? And if we have one, what does it look like? And I think the challenge of making that decision really comes from what we've been describing, which is that we really have 2 different use cases for GIS. One is a full-time professional that this is what they do, and the other is a more casual user that uses it as part of another occupation.
And I go specifically to the definitions that ERISA has used in their survey for the individual jobs. They list several, right? And they ask the person taking the survey to identify where they fit: GIS manager, GIS coordinator, GIS specialist. I found one that I thought was very interesting that would be the parallel to what you might do in a GIS degree program or a certificate program. That's actually all the way down to GIS technician, where they label them as the heavy user, the involving heavy amounts of database entry and management and the eventual generation of maps and plats. And it just struck me as a little bit funny, because that may not require, for example, a 4-year degree, and yet the other ones above it certainly probably would, the specialist, for example. It's not that I found the definitions confusing. I think they're well-defined, but if I was in a certificate or degree program, I'd have to go all the way down to technician to find where I'm that heavy user. I could have another job as a GIS coordinator, maybe I'm the urban planner, but I coordinate GIS activities. While I think Eurissa got the definitions right, I'm wondering if the person taking the survey would have a difficult time matching where they fit.
Well, I know that the one job where I worked in a consulting firm where I did GIS, we didn't really have titles, everyone was a consultant, but I couldn't tell you where on that list of things I belonged. I mean, I did all of those things. I did data entry, I made maps, I did analysis, I did a little bit of programming. I was the only one. I was the jack of all trades.
And I would say that my job in other areas where I was as a professional geologist, I did that too. But to be fair, those were back in the days where we barely even called it GIS. We just did everything in terms of digital map production and creation, and we did analysis of remotely sensed imagery, and we had to know the programming language structure of how to do image processing. We were the jack of all trades, except our degree was in something else. It was never GIS. Do you think there are other questions that Eurissa could have asked in this survey? And I have a couple. I would have liked to have seen, the one question I would have liked to have seen asked was, what other job skills not listed do you find necessary to perform your everyday geospatial tasks? That's one I would have liked to have seen. It's more of an open-ended question, but I would like to know, and certainly if I'm a hiring manager, and I'm reading their survey, maybe there are things that the survey taker would list that I might not have otherwise realized.
Guessing you're getting at more of the softer skills?
Yeah, it either could be soft skills, it could be, well, you know, I really also do programming that I wasn't necessarily trained for, but now I'm being asked to do this. I'm just wondering if there are other types of things that the person who's doing GIS is also asked to do that wasn't necessarily originally part of their job description.
Yeah, I have a similar question that I would add to that, and that is, what tasks do you consider to be GIS tasks?
Hmm.
So when you're sitting at you know, you're doing your job 40 hours a week, when you're collating and cleaning data in Excel, is that a GIS task or is that a data management task?
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes timely because we're taking a second look at the GTCM to update it.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on the body of knowledge version 2. And the folks at GISCI are working on this exam, which is going to be part of the certification process down the road. So they're trying to figure out what are the skills and what is it that these people do and what kinds of things do we need to make sure that they know how to do. And that's a very big open-ended question.
Well, you just brought up three activities that are ongoing that are there to define what the profession is. The GTCM, the body of knowledge, and the GISHI exam, those things will have dramatic impact on the profession for the next 3 to 5 years.
Draw me a picture. Tell me a story. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, good question. Since I was involved in the original GTCM, although I'm not necessarily certain that I could point to anything that's happened in the intervening couple of years since I was involved, but I think it will have dramatic effect on how we define these types of jobs that were there and what hiring managers look for. I mean, that was the original objective of, I think, the GTCM, is not just to influence what's taught in schools, but also to help those people who are hiring look for these skills that are potential hirees. The other question I might have asked in the survey is, how has your job evolved since you joined your organization? I get the impression that, you know, you get into one of these positions and either you are or aren't valuable, but let's just say you're very valuable, and they do ask you to do many other things. I think GIS as a tool has evolved to the point where it's now recognized as an extremely valuable tool set, and that person may have been asked to do much, much more. I do remember talking to a manager of a technology group. Maybe she was the technology manager, and the people she was hiring, they always found more and different jobs for them to do because the department was being asked to do so much. I would love to know, again, an open-ended question about the evolution of a particular job.
I think that's a great question. And that's, I think, in part how one moves through that list of titles. right? Because you were a technician, and then you'd move up to being an analyst, and then you'd come up to you keep getting asked to do more, and hopefully you're teaching yourself or you're getting some professional development to help you do those new kind of tasks. I think that would be a very interesting one. The other question that I would have has to do with ethics. And if ethics is such an important part of defining a profession and having a code of ethics, I'm really curious as to how many folks working in GIS who consider themselves GIS professionals, whether they have a certification or not, do they run into ethical issues? Do they document them? Do they think about them? Do they talk to their colleagues about them? I'm just curious as to how important that really is in the day-to-day lives of these professionals.
Can you give me an example of what might be an ethical dilemma for somebody in GIS?
The most horrifying one would be you've put together this data set with this map, and somebody in a seat of power comes in and says, hey, you know, you see this line here? That doesn't really belong there. It belongs over here. Hmm. And there you go. Do you do what this superior says? Person tells you, this supervisor or higher up tells you to do? Or do you say, no, the data says it's here and I'm standing by it?
Right.
There you go. That could certainly happen to a GIS technician all the way up to somebody further up the food chain.
And maybe as a corollary to that question, maybe it would have been interesting to ask, have you ever been asked to sign a code of ethics at your place of business? I've never heard of it, but I think it might be interesting to ask that question.
I can't say I've ever been asked to.
I guess in light of just what we've discussed, is there really a GIS profession at all? And if you consult the professional organizations, for example, the list of COGO organizations, do any of those really satisfy whether there is a GIS profession, or do they serve the GIS professional?
Well, I think if anything, the fact that we have so many of them suggests that we're not all on the same page. We're all taking GIS to different kinds of uses. And the fact that we need to have an organization like COGO, which, remember, is really about advocacy and taking a stand on issues related to our profession, such as it is, that it says that we really are all over the place.
Yeah.
And know, too, that there's a bunch of things missing. Because if we really wanted to widen our arms broadly around geospatial and location technology and all those words that we use, there are no organizations that have anything to do with mobile location, mobile marketing, CTIA. None of those folks are part of COGO. Now, could they be? Would they want to be? I don't know. But we don't have anybody in that space.
Yeah, and there are other organizations popping up that use location specifically in their title. We heard at our location intelligence conference, the Location-Based Marketing Association. You'll probably never find the three letters GIS labeled in there, although the tool is certainly used within that organization.
And one of the big issues with location-based marketing has to do with ethics now, doesn't it?
Yeah, very true.
We're getting your data. How are we going to use our data? Use your data? Are we going to be transparent? What are our obligations as users of this data?
From the privacy point of view as well. Well, as you can see, we have many questions, and we hope our listeners do as well. And we invite you to certainly comment on what we've got to say. So that's all the time we have for today. And from us here at Directions Magazine, we'd like to let you know that if you're looking at the synergies between geospatial technology and energy management, then you should consider attending our GeoEnergy Huntsville Summit, November 12th to the 13th in Huntsville, Alabama. The summit will explore how solutions related to energy efficiency, sustainability, and smart grid technologies support our national security. More details can be found at geohuntsville.com/conference. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Send us a tweet at Directions Mag, or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.